Chapter 11 The second time around. Norm, I'm getting married. Again. What do I need to know? This is a common question, an imposing question, and an overwhelming question. Its certainty needs and deserves an answer. You may be the one marrying again, or you may be marrying someone who is getting married again. Or it could be this chapter doesn't pertain to you at all. If not, it may be useful to one of your friends. What is shared in the next several pages is not meant to discourage or dishearten you about a marriage in which one person has been married before. It's simply to prepare you beforehand so you can be fully aware and in charge of your life and your new relationship. If you're ready to marry again, it means you have emerged from that dark, cluttered, frightening valley which most people experience during and after a divorce. Hopefully, you've been able to rearrange your life without assaults from your former spouse. So many divorces I've seen remind me of a country that divides into two, but one carries on guerrilla warfare attacks upon the other. In many cases, divorce can leave you with a terrible sense of failure and guilt. Finding your way back to stability can leave you either shattered, questioning your sanity and your abilities, or it can leave you stronger and wiser. You won't be the same person you were in your first marriage. The time between marriages is an extremely significant time in your life, especially for your future. Recuperation from any serious trauma is never easy, and for a while it often involves two steps forward and one step back. Stages of recuperation following your divorce. You very possibly went through four different stages. The first one was remembering the pain. At that point in time, if a thought about a new relationship came to mind, it could have been like pouring salt in an open cut. It hurt too much. Your divorce may have been too recent and painful. Whenever you saw a couple together who appeared happy, an entire onslaught of feelings emerged. You felt like half a person. Then you moved into a new stage of single again acceptance. Your pain diminished, and you held your head above water to see what this new world was like. You discovered you were not alone, but you may have felt fragile. Question after question came to mind. Dash, how do I relate to others again? Where did I go wrong? Can I attract someone? Who would want me? A new and deep commitment was inconceivable. The greatest danger at that time was sex. To feel wanted and close again could have conflicted with your Christian values. In the third stage of searching and selective, you began to feel whole again and you became interested in finding someone. You were comfortable with time alone, and you made yourself more available. But you would tend to evaluate each new person carefully. You were not ready for a commitment yet, but you may have wanted to move toward a close relationship. The last stage is where you said, "Yes, I'm ready." You began functioning as a whole person, and marriage began to look more attractive than remaining single. You allowed a relationship to proceed at its own pace. You were ready for a commitment when the risk of that step was less to be feared than not taking it. Often it takes 3 to 4 years after a divorce for this to occur. If it happens in the first year, it's too soon. Waiting gives you the opportunity to learn to find and love a whole person rather than half a person. I think it would be safe to say that every person entering a second marriage after a divorce is hoping and expecting it to be better than the first one. Hopefully, this desire will prompt them to take every step possible to make that wish a reality. But think about Jim Smoke's comments on new spouses. Here are a few hidden expectations of new spouses that have been shared with me over the years. If any of them sound like yours, get them out of hiding. 1. My new spouse will make me far happier than my former spouse did. 2. My new spouse will be totally different from my former spouse. 3. My new spouse will always understand me. 4. My new spouse will have none of the bad habits of my former spouse. 5. My new spouse will be a better parent than my former spouse. 6. My new spouse will never disappoint me. 7. My new spouse will never handle money as poorly as my former spouse. 8. My new spouse will make me a better person and make me happy. 9. My new spouse will make all the pain and hurt from my previous marriage go away. 10. My new spouse is perfect. If any about-to-be current second marriage spouses knew that the above were expectations for them, they would probably leave the country. 97. Hope for the second marriage. I've been encouraged by those who have spent months preparing by attending second marriage premarital preparation courses as well as being involved in individual premarital counseling sessions. But other individuals just seem to waltz into their next marriage assuming it will be better. But a second marriage is not any easier than a first, it is harder. Not only that, it's much more complicated. If you thought your first marriage took effort, you may be surprised what happens now. In a first marriage, you didn't have to share your partner with anyone else, nor did your partner have to share you with anyone. But if either or both have children, you may end up with 50 to 75% less time and energy to devote to the building of your new marriage. And in one sense, a second marriage is similar to a first marriage. The initial year is the most important when it comes to bonding and building a relationship. But with less time available, it may take much longer. As you approach a second marriage, have you given any consideration as to why the divorce rate for second marriages is higher than for first marriages? There are some identifiable reasons. It may help to keep these in mind. Here are some of the factors that cause second marriages to fail. Frequently, a person's second marriage is meant to punish the first partner and absolve the punishing partner of blame. There is pressure to make the second marriage work. There may be feelings of having to make up for the lacking areas in the first marriage, and a number of musts and shoulds are set up which can cripple the marriage. Rushing into a new marriage is one of the best ways for it to fail. Some second marriages fail because of a repetition compulsion, choosing the same kind of partner again or repeating some of the same bad habits. Failure to learn from the first time around will contaminate a new marriage. Characteristics of a second marriage. A second marriage is different from a first for a number of reasons. In a remarriage, there is usually another cast of characters in addition to the two of you, and the possibilities for problems are unlimited. You are also becoming involved with your spouse's family of origin, their previous spouse and their family, children from the first marriage, and also friends. The relationships expand as you each bring your own children into the arena. You're related now emotionally and by law. What if the previous ex of your new spouse remarries? You'll hear about them as well as have them in your life, too. In a sense, you could be marrying into one huge extended family with a number of people neither of you cares about. But you're stuck with them. And there are numerous outside pressures that will be new to you. They'll come at you from all sides, from parents, neighbors, families, jobs, school, and former family members. You'll hear comments which range from positive to negative. Oh, you're Bob's new wife. Well, I hope you can handle his kids better than she did, or, well, Jim, I certainly hope you give Laura a hand with the finances. I think that would help her get her accounts in order as well. Even your new spouse's parents may have some advice or warning statements for you. There will be others who resent you, dislike you, compare you, love you, ignore you, and accept you. The possibilities are endless. Some could praise you, frighten you, undermine you, or welcome you with open arms. I've seen it all. One remarried man said, "My former wife is still in my life and tries to mess it up. She poisons the children's minds about my new wife and has spread stories about her to the neighbors. Now the kids wonder who they are to believe." Keep in mind that in a first marriage there are fewer people involved than in a remarriage, and the feelings are much less complicated. When you first married, how did your parents respond? Probably they were either sad or glad. With a second marriage, there may be hesitation, reservations, or worry over whether this marriage will work out or not. And if there are going to be stepchildren involved, the apprehension can be even greater on their part. Consider this possibility: your children or stepchildren-to-be will wonder where they fit into this family and how they will get along with the new family members. I've seen second marriages dissolve because one of the children hated the stepparent so much he would never let the parents be alone while he was in the house. He would interrupt their conversations and actually step between them when they were talking. Perhaps your parents or your ex-partner's parents will be upset about your plans to remarry and worry over not seeing the grandchildren as much. Perhaps the ex-spouse will be concerned that you'll want custody, financial help, and visitation changes. Or perhaps they will want these things. Perhaps an ex-spouse will give you a wedding present of having your children or your new partner's children come to live with you. It's happened before. Keep in mind that people bring routines into a remarriage that were developed with a former spouse. A new spouse may be expected to know and accept these routines. What if you or your new spouse has a close relationship with a parent of a former spouse and wants to maintain that relationship? How will that affect a new marriage? People tend to bring memories into a remarriage, both positive and negative. When everything is going well with your new partner, your memories of the previous relationship are negative. You recall the shortcomings. But when things are not going well with your new partner, you may tend to idealize the former relationship. Remarriages can be fertile ground for comparison. And if either or both of you bring children into the relationship, there will be a multitude of adjustments. Let me make some initial suggestions based on 30 years of counseling married, divorced, and premarital individuals and couples. I make these suggestions out of a desire for you to have the fulfilling relationship you are seeking. It could very well be that the next series of suggestions, comments, and questions could be bothersome or even offensive, but they are meant to bring a sense of realism into your future. If your former spouse has not remarried, have you considered or attempted reconciliation, or is that door thoroughly closed? Is getting married again something that you believe is the will of God for your life? Could you explain the reasons for your answer? Have you participated in an intensive divorce recovery workshop program and completed all the requested assignments? Before beginning any new relationship, this is a must. It will take time and effort on your part to complete this, but it's essential for recovery. The difficulty is often finding such an opportunity. Many smaller churches or even middle-sized ones don't have such a ministry, and in small communities it's even more difficult to find this kind of workshop. Fortunately, a complete divorce recovery program is now available on video with an accompanying workbook called Divorce Care. Even if you have never been married before, if you are marrying someone who has, it would be beneficial for you to sit in on a recovery program or use the Divorce Care series. The greater your depth of understanding about the complexity of divorce and recovery, the greater your chances of developing a healthy relationship. By the way, if you have experienced a divorce and have recovered, be cautious about dating someone who is recently divorced. They tend to look to you to rescue them, and you may be dealing with a rebounder. How do you know if you're ready? A big question to answer is, are you ready for remarriage? Many people who divorce live with fear and have difficulty trusting. Chances are your trust with your former partner was broken, and you may struggle to trust anyone again. And you may struggle with the fear of having the next relationship be a repeat of the first. Trust is built slowly. You need to learn to trust your own decisions, judgments, and feelings. As you do, fear will be crowded out. Do others feel you're ready for remarriage? If you haven't asked your closest friends and family members, do so. Ask them for specific reasons as well. Are you realistic when it comes to making a new marriage work if there are children involved? Keep in mind it takes at least 5 to 6 years for a blended family to blend. Some of the couples I work with who are considering remarriage wonder if they are really free from the influences of their previous marriage enough to remarry. If you answer the following questions in the affirmative, perhaps you need to reconsider getting married again at this time. Does this new potential spouse resemble your former spouse in their appearance? Does the personality quality that you value so much in this new person seem to be the one your former spouse lacked? Do the same conflict that were in your previous marriage also exist in this relationship? Do you hold resentment against yourself or your former spouse for what happened in your marriage? Did this relationship begin as an affair while you were previously married? Do you resist or rebel against anything that reminds you of your previous spouse or your way of life together? Do you spend a lot of time thinking about what is going on in the life of your previous spouse? Are you searching for someone who is a clone of your former partner but without defects? Sometimes postponing the decision to marry again is helpful for recovery and change to occur. Have you taken time to find out everything you can about your new love's former marriage? What did they like and dislike about their former spouse, and what are their expectations of you because of that? Don't be afraid to ask, what did you do wrong? By the same token, be willing to share what you did wrong if you were married before. Listen to your partner when they talk about their first marriage. They're not just sharing history, but information that will influence your marriage. Fears and hurts which took years to accumulate won't disappear overnight. Bringing issues out into the open is healthy. Be sure you look at your own issues if you were married before. Why am I getting remarried? Perhaps you're already in a new relationship and are hoping that it will lead to marriage. Jim Smoke in his helpful book Growing in Remarriage raises some cautionary guidelines concerning various types of rescue motivations for marriage. This happens quite frequently in second marriages. We discussed several of these in Chapter 9, including emotional rescue, relational rescue, and financial rescue. Some of the same reasons that keep us in a relationship too long can push us into a relationship too soon. In addition to the other forms of rescue, you will face the sex issue again. Sexual rescue is a problem most single again persons will have to face. The concern is twofold: will I ever have sex again now that I am single, and will I and can I be celibate until I marry again? This becomes the big pursuit for many people, and some have found this pressure prompting their move toward marriage. But the sex drive by itself is not sufficient reason for getting married. Celibacy and a biblical pattern of living is possible and is more commonly practiced than you might believe. One other form of rescue is worth noting: parental rescue. A custodial parent of 1, 2, 3, or 4 children can be worn to a frazzle. Many second marriages have come about because the parent wanted another parent more than they wanted a spouse. Keep in mind that a biological parent will always have stronger ties and more of an emotional investment in their children than a step-parent. A second marriage will never rescue you from being the primary parent. 101. Fortunately, we are able to take advantage of the wealth of information that has been accumulated by others over the years about the adjustment issues in remarriage. It's much simpler when there are no children coming into the new marriage. But many remarriages have multiple children on both sides. If you or your new spouse are bringing children into a new marriage, hopefully there is a healthy, cooperative relationship between the biological parent and their ex, but if it is more of an adversarial relationship, you or your new spouse may need to formulate some form of foreign policy of conduct toward the former spouse. The purpose of such a policy is as follows: to prevent a former spouse from draining emotional or material resources from your new marriage. To prevent your former marriage from interfering and having a negative influence on your new marriage. To keep your former spouse's responses from hurting the children in your new marriage. To attempt to build some type of healthy, mature interaction between the former spouses. You or your new spouse may need to be firm in your responses, unavailable at times when the former spouse tries to make contact. Make it very clear that the new relationship comes first and be willing to help your new partner cope with the former one. Major adjustment issues. Here are some of the major issues of remarriage families. These are not presented to threaten or scare you, but to enlighten you and help you make the necessary preparations and adjustments needed to have a successful relationship. You may even be surprised by some of these items, but they have been found to be very significant. One of the issues is what name is used for the new parent. Each family has to work out a comfort level for each member. First of all, what does a child call you, an additional or substitute parent? Children often prefer to think in terms of new father and old father or real father. Or they could say first or second. Stepchildren not only have difficulty with the name step dash, but they may also struggle with their mother's new name, which is now different from their own. The expression of love and affection to a new parent is not easy to resolve, because it involves feelings of loyalty or alliance to their own absent parent. A step-parent will probably experience both positive and negative feelings from the children. Some children may become close to the step-parent and others remain distant. The loss of the natural parent will generate a grief reaction. If family members are still working through their grief response when a new family members enter the family, both the recovery and the bonding in the new relationship will be delayed. Most people in our society do not know how to grieve, nor do those around them know how to assist them in the process. Many remarriage family members believe that feelings of love and affection can develop easily in the family relationships. This does not usually happen, and a high level of expectation for this occurring can generate a strong sense of disillusionment in the new marriage. It will take a significant amount of time. If you are going to become a blended family, consider these things that will probably be part of your experience. What usually happens when families are blended is, 1. You will spend a great deal of time patching the wounds of fragmented family members. 2. You will come to dread that part of the holidays when children pass each other in airports. 3. You will have more spare toys, blankets, towels, and sleeping bags in your home than you know what to do with. 4. Some days, you will wonder what children belong to what parent on what planet. 5. You will quickly tire of being the bad guy step-parent. 6. You will want all children to become wards of the court when it comes to dispensing discipline. 7. You will tire of hearing children say, "My real father said I could do." 8. You will be loved and unloved in the same minute some days. 9. You will expect God to give all step-parents a castle free of kids in heaven. 103a Another issue is the disappointment that children experience when their dreams and fantasies of their parents reconciling fail to materialize. The fact of a second marriage puts an end to any of their hopes. Even years after a divorce, children entertain these dreams. If children are especially close to the non-custodial parent and hang on to dreams of their parents working it out, the new marriage is likely to experience difficulties. The number one problem in remarriages in which there are children are the conflicts over discipline. Some step-parents stay inattentive and disengaged, that doesn't work. Some become actively involved and overly restrictive, that doesn't work. Others remain tentative, and that doesn't work. What does work, then? The approach that works is a slow, gentle, flexible approach in which a friendship is developed to gain a child's participation. The biological parent, however, should take the lead with the step-parent supporting them. But this only works when you talk about it in advance. Another adjustment is sibling conflicts. If the children are still upset and angry over their parents' divorce, there will be friction between the step-siblings. These relationships are critical to the success of blended families. The better the relationships between step-siblings, the better the total family harmony. Within a blended family, you will find competition for a time. There is usually an unequal time distribution, and the children often feel they have been forced to choose between the step-parent and the biological parent. The greater the number of newly acquired family members, the greater the complexity of the relationships. The more people there are, the harder it is to find yourself in the system. As one new husband and stepfather said, "It's like I married into a crowd that's always milling around, and it's not only hard to know where you fit, it's also hard to get some alone time." A remarriage family also has a greater potential for inappropriate sexual behavior. This may occur between step-siblings or, unfortunately, between a step-parent and a step-child. Sometimes the sexual tension, fantasies, and anxieties can create tension and anger which can disrupt normal day-to-day functioning. Children experience emotional turmoil when they shift back and forth from their home to their other biological parent and back again. They will experience disruption for several days, because the exit and entry time expands beyond the time of visitation. There's both a time of preparation and a time of recovery after the return home. Often this disruption is observable in school. Feelings of guilt, loss, and a need to grieve are normal responses to this adjustment. Because a remarriage with children means instant family, any marital problems are going to be compounded. There is no opportunity to consider the marital relationship first. But if the step-parent-children relationship works out, it has a positive effect upon the marriage. Money problems could be an issue, and it's common to have conflicts over child support, spousal support, wills, trusts, distribution of future assets, payment for a daughter's wedding, prenuptials, etc. One other concern is the continued influence of the non-custodial parent in child-rearing practices. If all the parents do not cooperate, a child feels this stress. The sooner the remarriage follows the divorce, the more competition there is between parents. In spite of all the adjustments, problems, and multiple relationships, a remarriage can be a fulfilling time in which each person can find what they were always seeking in marriage. By planning, praying, and being persistent in working through issues, it can work. LV's seen it happen time and time again. Make it happen. It's your choice. The second time around 251.